Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mike Danger.
It's time.
It's time.
The Sports Bar After Hours. We approach Memorial Day weekend. It's the weirdest Memorial Day weekend I think I can remember, ever remember, Gino. I mean, every plan that you might have had in Memorial Day's past, you've scrapped, and you just take everything day by day.
That's it. That's it. And, you know, from the sporting world, what do we have? I mean, at least every weekend we're looking forward to Sunday night and reliving the Jordan years, a made-for-TV event with, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson. I guess we're all rooting against Brady, right? It's interesting how there's similarities between the great athletes that dominate their sport. I'm talking Jordan, Brady, Derek Jeter, where they are just control freaks. They will show you what they want to show you, and what you don't need to know, you're not going to find out. They're very protective of their turf, and I think Brady, in a lot of the way, he's like Jordan in some of those ways.
I'll say this about Tom Brady. That, you know, and I brought this up yesterday when we spoke with Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com. You know, watching the Jordan doc, you kind of wonder if there's anybody in professional sports that has that kind of almost sickness in terms of how competitive they are. And the closest person I could think of was probably Brady. The idea that the competitiveness that they bring to the table elevates the play of everyone around them and makes the people around them better by default. I can't think of anybody other than Brady that has been able to do that since Jordan.
People say it's ruthless, but I think I admire how these athletes demand a certain level. And if you're not at that level, you're disposable. Or I'm just going to ride you until I think I can get you to that level. See Scott Burrell, okay? Or pick any receiver that Brady did not like. There was one year where he had Rashay Caldwell, and they lost the Colts. Immediately the next offseason, you have Randy Moss coming in. So, yes.
Randy Moss coming in, by the way, at the end of his career. I mean, at a time when it was thought that that guy was a malcontent and he didn't have any gas left in the tank, he shows up and it's over.
Yeah, and the Patriots kind of... What is Randy Moss the Dennis Rodman of the,
yes,
of the Patriots? Where, yeah, you have a certain set of rules for one player, and the rest of the team can't have those rules where you can go to Vegas. Hey, I need a little vacation.
All right. It's the season of predictions here in the Sports Bar, and we went over some yesterday with Talbot, Gino. I don't know if you had the chance to review that, but, you know, I thought it'd be fun, a fun exercise at least, to kind of run some of these predictions by you, because I saw that the Icon put out his predictions for the Bills 2020 season. A couple of thoughts, and I want you to weigh in and let me know where you stand on some of these predictions in terms of who could potentially be the leading rusher for the Buffalo Bills in 2020. Is it Devin Singletary, or is it the rookie, Zach Moss?
I know you're high on Moss, but we didn't get Singletary for a full 16 games last year. Remember, he showed those flashes in the opener, and then gets hurt and not available for the Cincinnati game in week 3. So Devin Singletary, to me, will be the leading rusher. If we're talking, but more accurately, I think all-purpose yards, he will be the leader between he and Moss. I want to see it actually how they're going to utilize him. But my perception, everything I read, he's going to be the in-between one cut type of running back in between the tackles, where you will have Singletary utilized in a different fashion. I think they're a perfect complement for one another. But I think that would be a very bold prediction on your part or anyone's part if you thought that, if you're going to say Moss will actually lead the team in rushing this year.
What about receiving? And I bring up receiving because it was Mike Catalana from 13 Wham Sports who said he believes John Brown, not Stephon Diggs, would be this season's leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills. Which side of the fence are you on, Gino?
Well, and it's funny how we had the same conversation last year, and I remember kind of spitting it back at you, like, are we talking receptions? Are we talking yards? And I would kind of tend to agree for this reason, is that you have that chemistry between Smoke Brown and Josh Allen and that trust. And sure, Stephon Diggs over the top, that's going to be fun to watch. But if it's 3rd and 8, who is Josh Allen going to trust? Hey, maybe, you know, Cole Beasley in the mix too. But Beasley, to me, is not going to be the leading receiver on this team. Nor do I expect actually Stephon Diggs. I think it would be, when it's all said and done, leading the team in receiving yards and receptions, John Brown.
That feels like insanity to me. When you invest a first-round draft pick to get a guy that you consider to be one of the league's top receivers, you damn well better make sure that that guy is your leading receiver. I get that you're going to take what the defense gives you and that a lot of coverage is going to roll the way of Stephon Diggs, but he's worth a first-round draft pick. He should be able to beat that coverage and get open and be everything that you expect him to be, including your team's leading wide receiver. That's where I'm at on the wide receiver battle. What about...
Whoa. I got to respond to that. I mean, okay, so like, I'm not going to poo-poo, you know, just because he was a first-round receiver. He's better than anything you would have gotten receiver-wise in the first round. So I'm not going to penalize Stephon Diggs. If you signed him as a free agent, nobody would be saying anything other. But because he's got that, we traded a first round pick for him. It's Bills fans have been scorned before. You don't have to go back too far to see the Sammy Watkins trade. So I'm not going to hold it against Stephon Diggs if he's not the team's leading receiver. If he doesn't, because you gave up a first round pick, I'm sorry.
Well, look,
hard for me to imagine that at 21, you could have gotten anything better than Stephon
Diggs. I won't hold it against Stephon Diggs, but I'll hold it against the organization. You gave up a first round draft pick and you didn't maximize his value. And this is a receiver that in Minnesota wanted the ball more. He is that kind of alpha male, ultra competitive guy that wants the ball in his hands. And if you're not able to get him the ball in his hands and allow him to make plays, because why? Because chemistry? No, I think Stephon Diggs not only should be, has to be the leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills this year. I won't hold it against him if he isn't, but I will hold it against the organization for spending more than they needed to on a guy that isn't your leading receiver at come season end.
Well, that's a downside here you're bringing up, that I don't want it in Josh Allen's head that I've got to get the ball to receiver X because I've got to make sure that he's happy. This goes back to the, wow, what were the Buffalo Bills thinking when they were thinking about bringing in Antonio Brown? Antonio Brown, special talent, but how would that have helped or hurt the development of Josh Allen? And yes, hurt, because if you have a quarterback who, in the back of his mind, has to get the ball, I can't say that Trent Edwards was ever going to be a good quarterback, but I'm sure it didn't help that he had T.O. constantly in his ear his last year in Buffalo saying, get me the ball, get me the ball.
Yeah, I've read enough on Stephon Diggs since the trade happened that, and if you believe everything that you read, he's one of the best receivers in the league. Well, if he's one of the best receivers in the league, then he has a superior talent over John Brown. And that's not a knock on John Brown. John Brown has himself a nice little career going for himself, but he's not the same level of talent as Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs should have that ability to run crisper routes, get open more frequently. And if Josh Allen can find him the ball, he's your leading receiver in 2020. It would be surprising to me if he's not.
Well, and it would be, okay, so if you're a safety, which way are you rolling? That's going to be the fun part, right? Seeing how, who do you defend? And that might come down to it, is like, who is going to draw the single coverage? If it's Brown, then he's going to get the rock a lot more often than not. So the potential is there for this team. But am I fair in kind of detecting that you're just not a Diggs fan?
And no, a lot of that has incorrect. I'm excited about Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. And, I had concerns about the trade when the player came in because of everything that I heard of him in Minnesota. And ultimately it just appears like it was just a clash of egos between he and Kirk Cousins. And he's a guy that wants the ball. I mean, we talked to Matthew Caller from Minneapolis about this, and he's like, look, he's a competitive guy. He wants the ball in his hands. Great. I love hearing that. Now, do you have a quarterback that can get the ball to him? And it wasn't Kirk Cousins. Will it be Josh Allen? I hope so. Josh Allen has a chemistry with John Brown, a little bit more experience with John Brown. And I know that he's throwing with John Brown and with Stephon Diggs in Florida, I believe, this week. So that only helps. But given what you've invested and given everything that we know about the player and his supposed talent, then Stephon Diggs needs to be your best option at wide receiver this season. And if he's not, well, then I don't know what exactly is going on. If the Bills are winning, I guess winning cures.
No, if they're winning, it's all fine. If this is, and I know you're going to get to this, but like ultimately, what is the Bills' record? If they're muddling through and we're wondering, wow, wasn't this offense supposed to be better? Then we ask questions, and certainly there will be losses where the Bills will lay an egg, and you'll wonder, what the heck is Josh Allen doing here? Sure, we're going to at some point say, was that trade worth it? Anytime you do make a big trade like that where you're giving up a first-round pick, it's always going to follow Brandon Bean. I think that ultimately, though, to make this offense better, you weren't going to find anything this year at 21. You could have spent some money in free agency, but I don't know if there was a free Emmanuel Sanders. No, I'm sorry. I'd rather Emmanuel Sanders in the first round pick. No, I'd rather have Stephon.
It's not that I don't like the move. I like the move. I think the move makes a lot of sense. Where it doesn't make sense is when he doesn't lead the team in receptions after a season because you invested everything that you invested him. That's the only point I'm trying to make. The idea that you could see somebody with more interceptions on the Buffalo Bills defense in 2020 other than Trey White. Who has more interceptions, Trey White or Micah Hyde, Gino?
It's going to be Trey White. I truly believe that he's clearly one of the top five corners in this league.
Team's
so,
throwing to him, though?
Well, and that's a good point. And sure, he might not get the ball in his direction, but I would think that if you have an improved offense, okay, this last year, the Bills, their brand of offense, follow me on this. Like, I would think the Bills are going to put up more points. And if the Bills are going to put up more points offensively, then other teams are going to have to air it out just a little bit more if they're playing a little bit more of catch up. And that will lead to, some garbage interceptions, if you will. I mean, you could say Hyde. You could say Poyer, too. Poyer could end up with 5, 6, 7. It's just you sometimes you don't know how that football is going to bounce. So to me, I'm just going to go with the best talent in the secondary. And the best talent in the secondary is Trey White.
What about sacks? Jerry Hughes or Tremaine Edmonds? Who ends up with more sacks in 2020?
Ooh, that's a really good one. Hughes is going to be 32, right? What are you getting out of Jerry Hughes this year? I mean, he's going to be the, finger quotes, your starter, okay? But is he going to be an every down guy? No. Is he going to be there for 16 games? You would hope, but I wouldn't bank on it. To me, if you're asking, I actually would say Edmonds. Edmonds, maybe this would be the year you bring him up the middle a little bit more. Edmonds is going to be on the field every down. So if Jerry Hughes is going to be a part-time player, what's the expectation for Hughes this year? Maybe you're hoping for 7 sacks, 8. I don't think he's getting the double digits, but for Edmonds, Yeah, I think that's an interesting wild card to bring up.
Yeah, and you know, we talk a lot about what we expect in the development of Josh Allen in year three. I think that you could look on the other side of the line of scrimmage and say the Bills defense has the same type of player in Tremaine Edmonds. They're going to be linked forever, those two. And boy, we forget how young he is, but physically gifted, and hopefully he's got it between the ears where he can put it all together in his third season and be even more of a contributor on defense for the Buffalo Bills. Speaking of Josh Allen, this is more of an over-under, but I, you know, we've spent a lot of time discussing, and I don't know if you've heard this or not, Gino. There's whispers out there that Josh Allen has yet to throw a 300-yard game.
No.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a little surprising, but, you know, I've just heard little whispers and rumblings that he's yet to do so. But a lot of people believe that this year, given that, you know, it's another year in Dable's system, that you've got continuity on the offensive line and a handful of new weapons, that Josh Allen, dare I say, will break that 300-yard passing seal. The question is, will he do it more or less than 2.5 times in 2020?
The answer is more. And it's because the quarterbacks he's going up against, maybe not at the beginning, but the quarterbacks are going to put up yards, even against this Bills defense. Mahomes, Wilson, Garoppolo. I mean, there are going to be some games where it's going to be a different style than we're used to. So will Josh Allen have to then play catch up? Yeah. So there's going to be some games here that might be wildly entertaining for the Buffalo Bills. If the Bills' offense is going to be as good as you think it's going to be, I think it's a minimal expectation, 2.5. That's really,
yeah,
really low.
Yeah.
But it is the old Doug Flutie argument. The Doug Flutie argument would be, we would roll out the numbers and be like, this is crap. This is not an NFL quarterback. But you got to understand, all the rushing yards don't take into effect. Josh Allen has the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL the last 2 years amongst quarterbacks. So the 300-yard passing, it's a little strange, okay, that it hasn't happened yet, and we're entering year three, and I hope he gets it out of the way so we're not talking about this in October, all right? Get it done week one and, you know, put it to rest. So, and if you're Brian Daboll and the Bills, say, are up 31-10, and it's the fourth quarter against the Jets, just do it. Get it done. Keep throwing it around. Just get the yardage and get this out of the way once and for all.
I know you wanted to share a point on the NHL, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but I wanted to do this before we shift away from football, Gino. I mentioned a couple of episodes ago that I went through, or my daughter went through her room and was doing some cleaning, and underneath her bed found an old football card collection. I have the vintage football card album. Now, these are mostly cards from the late 90s and early 2000s. Nothing special in here, but I always think it's funny to kind of look at them and find, like, obscure players that you still have fond memories of for one reason or another. So I don't know the best way to do this, because I've literally got hundreds and hundreds of cards here in front of me, other than to say, maybe, Gino, you pick a team at random and I'll find the page where that I have the cards for that team and find a player that we can just riff on here for a second, because there's some names here. Like, as an example, I just at random opened up the book and it happened to open up to the Green Bay Packers and one Mark Chimura.
With word association, Mark Chimura?
Babysitter.
I was going to go with hot tub there. So babysitter will be acceptable.
But... one of my daughter's favorite rappers, DaBaby, has a song called Don't F the Babysitter. Mark Chimura, your theme song has been penned.
That guy could have been in Congress. He was setting it all up. I mean, yeah. Is there, like, as far as athletes who threw things away, like, yeah, that's a really bad decision, the babysitter. Yeah, that he could have had a very successful career. Who knows what that guy is doing now?
All right, give me a team, Gino.
I'm gonna get. Let's go with the Seattle Seahawks.
All right, let me go deep into the book here. I'm seeing Seattle Seahawks.
What year is this? This is 99-2000.
I'm saying these are late '90s. These are late '90s, early 2000s. So, okay. Let me see here. I'm going to find a good, like obscure.
Is Brian Blades on that page?
Hang on. Who do I got for you here? I mean, we forget that Joey Galloway was a Seattle Seahawk, right? We forget that
he was actually pretty good.
Yeah, we forget that Amon Green was a Seattle Seahawk, and that Ricky Waters was once a Seattle Seahawk. These are all cards that I'm just looking at right now. If I'm looking at the Seahawks, how about this? How about this nothing of a name? Do you remember John Freeze?
Oh, didn't he go to Detroit or? John Deep Freeze.
I got to pull out the card because without that, I don't have the stats to discuss here. John Freeze in 1996. All right, here's the synopsis on Freeze. Despite missing the last five games of the 96 season due to an injury, Freeze posted impressive numbers as a starter. Long underrated as a passer, he doesn't possess the strongest arm around, but his touch passes are fluid and consistent. Wow, get that writer to get that writer into politics. That is some brilliant spin. John Freeze sucks. Let's see. In 1996, he passed for 1,629 yards with a 56.9% completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 4 INTs. Did you know John Freeze was a Vandal graduate of Idaho?
Oh, see, I would have said San Diego State.
You've been blessed, Seattle. John Freeze used to be your starting quarterback. You don't have to worry about that anymore with Mr. Unwavering Language as your starting quarterback now.
How about that rumor, too? Did you buy that rumor that on the night the Buffalo Bills were selected Josh Allen, that Seattle was primed to ship Russell Wilson to Cleveland and Seattle would have drafted them in front at number 5, Josh Allen?
Yeah, me and Talbot discussed that yesterday on the pod, actually, and it's an interesting story. I got to imagine that Seattle was just doing that to kind of threaten Russell Wilson. Like, you think you're not being treated fairly here? Why don't we just ship you off to Cleveland and you can see how really bad it could be in the NFL, dude?
Funny how that story comes to light now, right?
So, yeah.
What could have been? All right, what team should we pick? We should go over to the AFC. Let's go with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, going back to the beginning of the book here. By the way, the guy that gave me all of these cards, huge Bills fan. So you could ask me for some Bills cards, and I would only have a couple. He took all the Bills cards for himself, Gino.
Yeah, all those cards are worth what? 10 cents collectively
nothing,
at this point?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I ran him by Masterstroke. He's like, dude, you'd be lucky to get $20 for the whole lot. All right, let me find a good one here from Cincinnati. I mean, we don't forget about Jeff Blake, do we?
He had one pass, right? The bomb. Every Jeff Blake highlight you would always see, it's like 40 yards downfield and some receiver. Was Peter Warwick in that time frame too? Kind of going.
There's one player that I've got consistent here, with the two teams that we've looked at. I've seen cards now of his for the two teams that we've selected tonight in Seattle and Cincinnati. He is a quarterback.
Seattle and Cincinnati. John Kitna.
John Kitna. Seattle and Cincinnati, and I've got cards for both of them.
John Kitna. He would come to the podium and like he would wear not the team hat, but he'd wear a hat and just would have a cross on it.
Don't you remember like when you used to collect football cards and you get excited about getting a pack of cards with that crappy gum in it and you'd be like, I just want cards from players that I love and teams that I'm actually interested in. And inevitably you would just end up with a whole bunch of Cincinnati Bengal cards. You'd be like, what am I doing with this crap? And I feel like when I'm looking at these pages of Cincinnati Bengal cards, like that's probably what this collector was thinking as he was looking at. Like, ugh, I've got like 4 or 5 pages of Bengals cards. What am I doing with a card of linebacker Steve Tovar of the Cincinnati Bengals? I'm not doing anything with that.
I think like for me it was baseball and like those teams were the Texas Rangers or the Milwaukee Brewers, just nothing players. Nobody cared. None of your friends would want to trade. So.
No, don't worry, because I've got like 18 different Anthony Munoz cards that I'm looking at here if you want one of those. Oh, Akili Smith, are you interested in Akili Smith? Can I interest you in an Akili Smith trade?
Boy, that's another. We talked about Cade McNown last week. Now we're talking to Akili Smith. Wow.
Yeah. But
number three overall.
And
pick.
No disrespect to Anthony Munoz, by the way. I mean, what an unbelievable player for an abysmal franchise for so long. But yeah, I've got a little bit of everything here from the Bengals. I've got some Boomer Esiason. I've got some Akili Smith. We mentioned Kitna. Jeff Blake. I mean, like, just a hodgepodge of mediocrity at the quarterback position for the Cincinnati Bengals here during this time period.
You got probably Icky Woods' time. That he burned brightly, and then after that 88 Super Bowl, right? Poof, he's gone. Yeah, so
Let's see. Can I interest you in Darnay Scott? Like, these are just the name. These are the names that when you hear them, you're like, I remember the names. I remember these guys playing. I don't remember the production. I don't remember, but I remember Carl Pickens. That was a name.
Tennessee, I want to say Carl Pickens. So.
Carl Pickens had some time with Cincinnati, you know, like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Carl Pickens. Yeah,
that's great. That's great.
Oh, Garrison Hurst was a Cincinnati Bengal. Almost forgot about Garrison Hurst.
I could do this all night. All right. Give me really one good. More. Because the Buffalo Bills, the rival in that time frame, seems silly to say this now, but it was the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. So let's see what they have for the Dolphins.
Lots of Miami Dolphins. Again, that you open up that football card pack, and it's teams that you don't care about, or worse, teams that you hate. Like, for me, it'd be like, oh, God, what am I doing with all these Minnesota Viking cards? I don't like any of these cards. What am I doing? Let's see.
There's got to be like a Lewis Oliver in there. Try to think late 80s, early 90s.
No, we're saying late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay. Yes, sir. So, you know, I can offer you up a Bernie Parmalee. I can offer you up an O.J. McDuffie.
O.J. McDuffie, Penn State. Liked them.
I can offer you up a Ricky Williams or a Troy Vincent from his time in Miami.
Troy Vincent. He went, let's see, did he go Philadelphia, Miami, Buffalo? Yeah, that was his pattern.
I can even offer you up a Thurman Thomas from his time in Miami.
No.
That card. Yes. It's true.
Thurman Thomas, quick story. Like, he came back to Buffalo the 1 year with the Dolphins, but he was hurt. So they played in San Diego the week before. Knee injury, and I don't think he ever played again. But he made the trip, and he was in a suit, and he didn't go down in the sidelines. But, you know, reporters kind of like at the end of the game, you know, you wonder, like, how do, like, you always see the rush of people. Well, there's a lot of reporters that are hanging out in the tunnel. And hanging out in the tunnel after the game, he was ready to see all his teammates come to the field, was Thurman Thomas. Danger, he was lit. You know, you ever go up, do you ever go up to somebody and you just, before, not even the breath, you could just smell the booze coming off of Thurman. So, yeah, he had nothing better to do that day. I'm sure he saw some old friends. I'm not playing today, so.
Jay Fiedler, come on.
Jay Fiedler.
Quarterback. Gosh. Terrible. And another position that's kind of gone the way of the dodo. I mean, we forget about the powerful white fullback in the NFL. The Dolphins had their version of that in Rob Conrad. Do you remember Rob Conrad?
Of course, yeah. He's a Syracuse guy. Yeah, yeah. Rob Conrad.
And also, you know, like I was skimming through these earlier, and I'm like, oh, there's another dinosaur. How about the last white cornerback that was worth anything in the NFL? There he is, Jason Sehorn. Come on down.
I like how you. Which team has the dinosaur fullback? Oh, that's right. That's the Buffalo Bills.
Yes,
Patrick DeMarco. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Going the way of the dodo. That was fun, Gino. We'll have to do that again soon. Before we cut out here in the sports bar after hours, news today breaking that Canada has decided to extend their ban of non-essential travel across the border until June 21st. Now, I looked it up. I think they have something like around 6,000 COVID-19 deaths, which pales in comparison to what we've got going on just in New York State alone. So, you know, this is probably more imposed by Canada than anybody, them saying, you know, get you filthy Americans away from our land so that we don't get any more infected than we already are. But what does this do to the NHL and their prospects of trying to get something going here?
It's over. It's over. Can we just move on? What is the purpose? Okay, so let's say June 22nd. Hey, the border's open. All right. How long would you need? A minimum 2 weeks. But even 2 weeks, you're watching crappy hockey on bad ice. And who knows what venue this would be. And forget, we haven't even gotten to the testing and the procedures and everything else. And, this plan of 24 teams. And can we just officially say that's it for hockey? I don't want to watch some product that just completely watered down in the month of August. Let's look forward to a day where we can celebrate next season. If you want to name whoever was the league leader in points, your cup champion, fine, do that. But to me, what is the point of this? And you're seeing all these sports right now. They are faced with serious financial losses, and baseball behind the scenes bickering between the owners and players. We talked about that last week. Even the NBA right now, who I think we kind of hold in high regard as far as the four major sports, like, hey, by and large, that sport, that leadership has it together, and they still don't really have a plan. You hear Disney World, you hear Vegas, but how is this all going to be? To me, I don't want to see the product, whether it's hockey, the NBA, even baseball at this point, I would rather take the summer off, Danger, and I'm a sports guy. I'll watch golf. I'll watch some NASCAR. I will continue to do these fun exercises, but I don't need the Stanley Cup final played in North Dakota in the first weekend in August. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I keep trying to think to myself, what's it all going to look like? What will it look like on the other side? Will it look anything like what we're used to? And it probably doesn't. The thing that I keep wondering about is you know, the fan experience. Will fans be able to someday enjoy these events in person again? And the answer is yes. It's just a matter of when. But with each passing day that they try to salvage what's left of the ruins of the remainder of these seasons, it puts the future in jeopardy as well, because you've got all these deadlines that you're missing. You've got dates that aren't confirmed. Everything literally is on ice, and at some point it's going to hurt you in the future as well. And then from a fan perspective, and I don't know how you feel about this, Gino, but I can tell you from the limited amount of times that I've gone out when I've needed to go out for something, more than anything, the thing that I think makes going out uncomfortable, and it's going to take me a while, and I think it takes all of us a while to get used to the social distancing, to get used to having to wear a face mask when you're out in public, or staying 6 feet apart from people that are close to you, waiting in line for things, but not being a huddled mass, rather being spread out. All of these things, to me at least, make going out of the house really not that enjoyable. I'm not looking forward to more openings where, you know, hey, you can go back out to restaurants. Well, I'm not going out to a restaurant if I have to wear a face mask to enjoy myself. That's not enjoyable, and it's not something I really look forward to doing.
Yeah, we will enjoy the NFL. That's the one sport. Why? Because of the betting aspect. Because of fantasy football. And because, yes, everything that goes along with it. Without fans, it's going to look a lot different on television. But the majority of us don't go to NFL games. I'm sorry. Yes, I know there's a lot of people that listen to our show, listen to the podcast, that are Buffalo Bills fans that, you know, they're going to suck, you know, if you can't go out and enjoy a Bills game in person this year. But that's the one sport you can get away with it. It'll be interesting how they shoot it on television. The trial balloon that was floated by Joe Buck, and I believe it was a trial balloon that they were going to digitize fans in the stands. No, No. We don't need this alternate reality. I show us what is real, and you can just tighten up the shot too. You don't need to go show all these empty seats. I'm sorry. I've watched a little bit of the Korean baseball, and yeah, it's kind of the same thing. It's
is that the one where they have the sex dolls in the stands?
That would be the soccer league.
Oh, yeah. All right. Good. By the way, points for creativity.
Who figured that out, too? I think Levitard made that point. Like, who was the one that said, hey, you know what? Watching that on how are you? You're watching at home. How astute or how much of a perv do you have to be to realize, like, hey, you know what? That's a sex doll that's in the stand.
Oh, good stuff. Well, one day closer to hopefully getting the chance to become fans again of any sort of action. Gino, it's great hearing your voice. Let's try and connect again later this week before the long holiday weekend. If we don't, I want you to enjoy your time as we have a little bit of time here to kind of sit back, reflect, spend some time with close family, and maybe a couple of friends over Memorial Day weekend. I heard this term for the first time, quarantining, where you team up with other neighbors and friends who you know are COVID negative, and you alternate the time that you guys get to spend together. This is a lot of effort, right? This is just a little bit too much effort to hang out with people. I don't know that I'm buying into that phrase.
No, I don't need the go-to meeting or the Zoom of everybody drinking together at happy hour. No.
Oh, by the way, I will quick story before we cut out. I'm sorry. You brought up Zoom, and I was going to bring this up at some point this afternoon with you. I was on a Zoom funeral today.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's where we are. Ooh. I mean, you know, the idea that I'm remotely watching the funeral of a friend's dad, and you know they're practicing social distancing and all wearing their face masks, and they have family members at the graveyard at the cemetery that they're not even able to be there. They have to stand at a distance. You see them far off in the distance watching the service because there's too many people at this gathering for them to be a part of it. It was. Man, it's just a weird, weird time that we're in right now. It was hard for me to wrap my head around. And yet at the same time, it was still a beautiful ceremony.
Wow. Well, on the positive side, it did feel great outside today. Hopefully got out a little bit. I mean, this was like the best day we've had all year, in my opinion. It just felt great outside. So, and hopefully we got a lot more of that this weekend, Danger, and hopefully you get a nice cold one or two.
Well, if I smell like gasoline this evening, it's because my lawn looks like Oak Hill right now. You don't have to tell me how nice it was today, Gino. I am ready. and yes, lawnmower beers are being had. It's going to be a fun weekend. We're looking forward to it, albeit a weekend without a ton of sports to discuss. But what does go down, we will be here to discuss it in the sports bar after hours. We appreciate you checking us out, as you do always here at the radio.com app, ESPNRochester.com, or wherever you enjoy podcasts. Enjoy your evening and stay healthy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.